If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Joshua chapter 19. If you've been with us at all over the past several months, you know that we've been taking our time walking through the book of Joshua. And I mean taking our time. Last week I shared with you, it's been 5 months that we've been walking through this book. We've had a few breaks here and there. But the cool thing is, I don't know about you guys, but I know that this book has been very impactful for me. I knew God was leading us to Joshua. I knew I liked Joshua. But all I really remembered about Joshua, you know, for the most part was, you know, the Battle of Jericho and some of those early things. I hadn't really fully engaged in studying the book of Joshua until the Lord told me we were going to speak out of this book. And I've realized how powerful the book of Joshua is. I even remember shortly before I was with our pastors that meet and pray together each week. And he made a comment just about, you know, we just don't see churches going through the Old Testament anymore. You know, I said, well, actually, I'm starting Joshua. And I said, I'm realizing Joshua isn't just an Old Testament book. Joshua is a book for today. It is a book, when you look at what the Israelites went through, the ups and downs and the challenges, it's us. It's what we walk through. And so this book has been so powerful for me. It's taught me some challenging things that have been stretching me and really helping me grow in my relationship with the Lord. And I hope that the same is for you. And so this morning, I don't think is any different. Today, we're going to read just two verses out of chapter 19. But these two verses are verses that can really change us if we allow them to, if we allow them to penetrate our hearts and meet us where we're at. And so let me just give you a little context before we read Joshua 19. We're going to read verses 49 through 50 this morning. But let me kind of give you some background here. You know, over the last six chapters we've been walking through, we know that Joshua has been dividing up the land, right? As they've come and conquered this land, Joshua is now dividing this land up to the tribes of Israel, okay? And now as we come to the end of chapter 19, there's one last person, the very last out of all of everyone that received their portion of land, there's one last person who is to receive their land. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me here. We're going to read again verses 49 through 50 of Joshua 19. This is what it says. When they had finished dividing the land into its allotted portions, the Israelites gave Joshua, son of Nun, an inheritance among them, just as the Lord had commanded. They gave him the town he asked for, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. And he built up the town and settled there. Now, just two verses we're reading today. But out of these two verses, the Lord showed me two things that we can learn from Joshua as a leader here. And even though it's only two things, I really believe these are two things, as I said earlier, that can ultimately transform and change our lives if we learn to lead the way Joshua led. If we learn to walk them out in the way that he did, okay? So are you ready for them? Here they are. First thing is this. First thing we learn from Joshua is the godly value of putting others first. The godly value of putting others first. We see in these scriptures that Joshua, as the leader, he didn't take his land until everyone else had gotten theirs. He didn't go, I'm the leader, I want this, we'll see you later, you guys figure out the rest, right? He didn't take his land till everyone else got there first. He didn't go ahead of everyone else, take the biggest piece of land, the best piece of land, the luscious piece of land. He didn't use his authority and position of leadership to lift himself up, which I know we can do sometimes, right? I know sometimes I pastor this church, I'm just going to take this because I pastor the church. I mean, we could do that, right? It's easy for people to lift yourselves up and take things for yourself because of your leadership. But he didn't do that. No, Joshua, he waited until everyone else got their portion before he asked God for his share. And so in these verses, we see how selfless right? Selfless of a man that Joshua was. And I think God's desire is that we would be like Joshua. God's desire is that we be people who put others first, who live not selfish lives, but live selfless lives. Now the problem is, oftentimes, because of our sinful nature, we gravitate more towards selfishness than selflessness. Am I right? Or am I the only one in here? Right? I hope there's more people that are honest in here, all right? Because I know oftentimes I gravitate towards the selfishness. And all through the Bible, there's examples of this. There's examples of both selfishness and selflessness, right? We know there's plenty of examples of selfishness, right? But there's examples of these throughout the Bible. Let me share a few examples with you this morning. How about David? David's an interesting guy, okay? In David, he actually shows us some great examples of both, right? We see some great examples of selflessness, some great examples of selfishness, right? When he goes out to take on Goliath, right? When he puts his life on the line for the people of God, to take on, you know, he's this little guy. You know, it says he's short in stature. We don't know, you know, exactly how tall he was. We know Goliath is like 9 feet tall. You know, he is going out against this massive giant, right? Putting his life on the line for the people of God. That is an example of selflessness, right? That we see in David. But a little while down the road, he becomes king, right? He's got this power and authority. Walks out on his rooftop, looks down, sees this beautiful young woman bathing who's married, and he says, I want her for myself. And so what does he do? He puts her husband out on the front lines, basically gets him killed, right? Why? So he can have what he wants. So he can take her to be his wife. That's pretty selfish, wouldn't you say, right? So we see both examples of David. Here in the one example, he put others first. In the other example, he put himself first. Now, how about the disciples? Disciples, too, we got some interesting stories. I want to just share one scripture with you about the disciples. This morning. As a matter of fact, I've got it on the board up that we can put up on the screen here, so you don't have to turn to it if you want to. But it's Mark 9, verses 33 through 35. This is what it says. It says, they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples, what were you arguing about on the road? Now, I really believe Jesus, he knew what they were arguing about. That's why he asked them. And in verse 34, it says, but they kept quiet. Why they keep quiet? Because they do it with something they shouldn't be doing, right? They kept quiet because on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest. Verse 35, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be very last and the servant of all. So here the disciples, they're arguing about who's greater. I'm greater. I'm better. I love Jesus more. He cares about me more. Right? They were thinking about themselves. And there are even other times that we hear the disciples where they're talking about who should sit at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus, right? They're thinking about themselves. Oh, I'm better. I should be put here, striving for what they want, right? Putting themselves first, reaching for something that maybe not easy even for them to have in the first place. The disciples here sound a little selfish, don't they? It's all about themselves. It's about being at the top of the ladder, right? And we see this in today's world. We see it in today's society, this desire to climb the ladder, this desire to be better than others, where oftentimes people don't worry about who they step on or who they hurt to get to what they want, right? It doesn't matter what I do to get what I want as long as I get what I want. It's selfishness. But what does Jesus say about this? What's his response to the disciples as they strive for this desire to be number one, this desire for selfishness? He says, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. He says we have to serve others. We have to put others first. It's not about us. It's about lifting up others. Now the problem is this idea of being a servant seems to be backwards in our world. We struggle with it, right? Society says, no, you gotta do what you gotta do for yourself. You can't worry about others. I want to show you just a quick little video that gives us the perspective of many in this world in regards to the concept of serving. Watch this real quick.
As Christians, we have been called to give generously to the people in our communities, and there are many ways we can do this. Luckily, none of them involve serving others. You see, serving others is a waste of time, because people are ungrateful and selfish, and they probably won't ever serve you back. So why serve them in the first place? Also, when you serve others, you are being their servant. Is that what you want? Do you think God wants you to go around and help people out and be their servant? That's ridiculous. We are Christians with the truth inside us and the power of God behind us. We shouldn't be lowly servants. The Bible says we are more than conquerors, so we should conquer people and make them serve us. After all, Christians are superior to the sinners of the world and should be treated accordingly. These have been Deep Thoughts from a Shallow Christian.
Now we laugh at this, but oftentimes, isn't these the thoughts that go through our head? Oh, I don't want to do that. They're just going to step on me. They're just going to whatever. They're just going to do that. But here's the thing I'm realizing from the Lord. It doesn't matter how ungrateful others are. It doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. It doesn't matter if it's that coworker that just drives you crazy, right? We're all called to always put others first, especially as a leader. If we call ourselves a leader, and we all in some way are leaders, right? We all should be following, but we also should all be leading, right? Looking to those people beyond us to lead. If we call ourselves a leader, we need to be people who put others first. And whether we call ourselves a leader or not, we all need to put others first. Joshua is a perfect example here of what that should look like. I mean, let's be honest. When you look at the Israelites, right? If anyone deserved the first portion of land, it was Joshua or maybe Caleb, right? The two of them. It was one of them. But Joshua led by example as he faithfully put others first. God is calling all of us to do the same. Now, if you noticed, the first point up there, if you noticed there, I didn't just say we can learn the value of putting others first from Joshua. I purposefully and specifically said we can learn the godly value of putting others first. Now, why did I do that? And why do I think that's important? I think it's important because this value was modeled for us later in the scriptures by Jesus Christ himself. It's not just a good value. It is a godly value. It's what God calls of us. Jesus lived this value out in who he was, right? In his life. Jesus did nothing but put others first. Here he is, the God of this universe, right? The creator of all things. If anyone deserves, you know, to have everyone just come to him and bow at his feet and be exalted, but he put others first. I want to read one last scripture to you this morning out of Philippians 2. Again, I'm going to put it up on the screen so if you don't have to hit there real quick if you don't want to. But Philippians 2, 6 through 8. This is talking about Jesus. This is what it says. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So he is God, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit makes up the Trinity, the three persons in one, right? He is, in very nature, He is God. But as He came to this earth, He didn't consider, all of a sudden, He stepped out of heaven and He dropped down to humanity, right? He made Himself, it says verse 7, made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He stepped out of all authority and all of heaven and all that He had to be a human being, right? Now, He was fully God, but He took on all the limitations that we take on as human beings, okay? Being made in human likeness. And then, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even on a cross. This right here, it is the example of putting others first. There is no greater example found in the world of putting others first. Jesus put everyone, okay? Everyone that has ever lived on this earth and everyone that ever will live on this earth, He put them all before Himself in this moment of time. He gave up His life so that anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord could be saved. The God of this universe, He did that for us, right? It's an amazing picture of putting others first, because He could have, honestly, you guys should be thankful I'm not God, okay? Because honestly, I probably would have just been like, forget you guys, and just wiped you all out, and just said, forget it, I don't need them. But He didn't. He could have done that. He didn't do that. Instead, Jesus came to this earth and He set the example for us as He put others first and as He gave His life for others. Now, God is simply asking us to follow in His footsteps, to follow His example. And know this, He's not asking us to do something that He hasn't done already Himself, right? You hate those leaders, right, that ask you to do stuff that they haven't done themselves, right? You know, the only time those kind of leaders put others first is when they say, like, hey, this milk's expired. Here, you take some first, right? Or, hey, we got a rickety bridge. I don't know if it's going to hold us. You go first, right? That's the type of leader putting others. But that's not what it's talking about here. We have to be people who put others first, who literally will lay our life down for others. That's what Jesus modeled to us. He led by example, and as Christians, He's simply just asking us to do what He has done Himself, to live out the godly value of putting others first in the same way that we saw Joshua do it here in chapter 19. Second and final thing we can learn from Joshua in these scriptures is, sorry, I need some water. Number two, the value, we learn the value of being faithful with what we've been given. The value of being faithful with what we've been given. Verse 50, it says, they gave him the town he asked for, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim, and he built the town and settled there. New American Standard Version says, he built the city and settled in it. Now, here's the thing. As I studied these scriptures over 19 and verses 49 and 50, I found that there isn't a lot of information about this land that Joshua was given. As a matter of fact, it was only about 40 years ago that I forget the guy's name, I should have wrote down, that this doctor something thinks they found where the land was at, okay? But there's not a whole lot of information about this land that Joshua was given. And there's a lot of speculation, and you know, as it's translated, you know, from the Hebrew to the English language, you know, whether he actually chose the land himself or was the land actually given to him by God, okay? There's a lot of speculation. People believe different things. And again, most of what I read is just simply different theologians' ideas, okay, speculation. But many seem to think this, out of that, many seem to think it wasn't like this huge piece of land. It was a very, you know, modest piece of land that was given to Joshua. And it was part of the land that had already been given to his tribe. Okay, so it wasn't like this special land. It was part of the land that was already given to his tribe. And so we don't know a whole lot, but regardless of how amazing or how average, okay, this land Joshua was given was, I think the important thing that the Lord spoke to me out of this is that he was faithful with what he was given. He was faithful with what he was given. The important thing is that he built on that land. He built on what the Lord had given him, and that is a great lesson for all of us. How are we doing with what God has given us? Are we being faithful to build on the land that God has given us? The sad thing is, many of us, we struggle with what we've been given. It's not enough, right? We want more. We struggle with maybe this life that we have been allotted. This sucks. How come my life is this way? Look at them. I want that. I want this. I want that. Whatever, right? You see, we live in a world where we've been taught to believe that the grass is always greener on the other side, or that their life is better than our life. But the reality is, and let me just say this, the grass is green right where you're at, or it has the ability to be green right where you're at if you would take the time, if we would take the time to look down and to realize it and to do with what he's given us, be faithful to do with what he's given us, to build on what he's given us. You see, we're real good at wishing we were someone else, wishing we had this, wishing we had that, wishing we had someone else's gifts and talents, right? You see that a lot in ministry, man. I even myself in youth ministry early on, you know, some of you may know this, some of you may not, I didn't go to Bible college, okay? And I remember I got asked, oh, a Bible, and I just felt like I was something less because I didn't go to Bible, you know, and I remember I struggled with that. I was like, man, I wish I went to Bible college like them. I wish this, I wish that. And I struggled with those things early on, wanting someone else's gifts and talents because it will make me a better youth pastor, a better this, a better that. And the thing is, oftentimes when we do that, we end up trying to be those people, right? Trying to be someone that we're not. But let me tell you something. And if you don't hear anything today except these words, I want you to hear this morning. I'm going to try to say it this morning. God doesn't want you to be a cheap imitation of someone else. He doesn't want you to be a cheap imitation of someone else. He wants you to be an authentic version of who he created you to be. Did you hear that? He doesn't want you to be a cheap imitation of someone else. He wants you to be an authentic version of who he created you to be. And who he created you to be is a wonderful thing when we're faithful to seek him and allow him to mold and shape us into who he created us to be. God created you. He created me. And he loves us. And he wants to use each of us where we're at with the gifts that he's given us. Let me share something with you that was a huge challenge for me when I planted this church. Okay? When we first started this church, I had people who were trying to make me into the pastor that they thought I should be. To mold and shape me into this pastor they wanted me to be. Their vision of what, the pastor of Dallas Four Square Church should look like this, right? But here's the thing. I had to realize God didn't call me here to Dallas Four Square to be something that I'm not. You hear that? God didn't call me to be something that I'm not. He knew who I was before he came here. He knew everything about me. He knew what he wanted at Dallas Four Square Church. Now, I don't know why he chose me, but he knew what he wanted. And he brought me here for that reason, to be who I am. To be the pastor that he's called me to be, not the pastor that someone else wants me to be, or even the pastor that I think, I'd love to be like them. I'd love to do this. I'd love to do that. He's called me to be the pastor that he created me to be. You see, I believe if I had tried to be the pastor that others wanted me to be when we first started this church, I don't know that I'd be here today. I don't know if the church would be here today. You see, we have to be people who are faithful to live the lives that God has called us to live. Not the lives that other people want you to live, or the lives that maybe we think, oh, I wish that was my life. I wish I could live that life. You see, we have to trust in the Lord. Trust that the Lord has a plan for our lives, that He created us in a way for a reason, right? He has a plan for our lives, and regardless of how great or insignificant that life may seem to us, it's huge to Him. It's huge to the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mom who is called to just love your kids and care for the friends of your kids, or if you're the CEO of a huge organization, all right? Here's what the world does. Whoop, whoop, right? Isn't that what the world does? But you see, God's different. To God, each person is equally important. And this mom here is as important to God because the lives that they're going to save, the kids that they're going to bring to the Lord. And the CEO, it's the same thing. Now, some of us may go, oh, those people there, there's no hope for them. But God puts great people in those places too. And to God, they're equally important. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've been called to do, whatever it is, whatever God's called you to be, it's huge to Him. Because He's created you in a way that's going to allow you to touch people that no one else in the world can touch. And draw people to the Lord that no one else will be able to draw to Him. You see, just like Joshua, we have to be faithful to build on the land that God's given us. I love how it just says, He built the city and He settled there. He was faithful to build on what God had given me. He didn't say, God, I need more property. I need this, I need that, or this isn't good enough. No, he was faithful to build on what the Lord had given him. And just like Joshua, we have to be faithful to build on the land that God's given us. Now, here's what I do believe, though. As we're faithful with what he's given us, it's then that he'll give us more. It's then that he'll pour out his blessings because we're being faithful to do the things that he's called us to do. I titled this message, Leading Like Joshua, because we're all called to be leaders. And Joshua did an amazing job. And if you really look at the life of Joshua, for many years, he's behind the scenes to who? Moses. He was behind the scenes to Moses. But he faithfully served Moses. He faithfully served in the little things. And what did God do? God saw his faithfulness and he gave him greater things, right? Things that even he didn't even, I think, want. And God said, be strong and courageous because I have seen something in you and I'm going to use you to do great things. And I believe the Lord would say the same thing to you today. I want to do great things through you. Now, for some of you, that may be this up here and where the world says is big on a platform on this or that. To some, it may just be being faithful in your neighborhood, being faithful in your workplace, being faithful wherever you're at. And we have to be content with where God's called us and to be faithful to build on whatever it is that he's given us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word this morning. And it is a challenging word. Because, Lord, our whole nature in us leans towards selfishness. And, Lord, you're calling us to be people that are selfless, not selfish. People who put others first, who exalt others before ourselves, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray that you teach us how to do that. Lord, that you help us look at the great examples of men in the Bible. And you see the importance, that we would see the importance of how you work through being servants, Lord. How as we put others first, you are exalted and people are drawn to you, Lord. And so I pray you would teach us how to do that. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us how to be who you've called us to be. Not to try to be cheap imitations of someone else, but authentic versions of who you called us to be, Lord. You've given each of us gifts. How do we use the gifts you've given us, Lord? Not striving for gifts that aren't ours, not wanting to be something we're not, but truly be who you've called us to be and be content with that. Because I believe as we learn to do that, it's then that we really experience your peace in our life, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray you would allow these things, Lord, both of these points today. This godly value of putting others first. This value of being faithful with what we've been given, Lord. I pray that you allow them to penetrate our hearts. Speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. May they help us and challenge us to grow in you and become who you have called us to be, Lord. Not what others want us to be, not what we think we should be, but who you have created us to be, Lord. And if we're faithful to do that, it's going to be a beautiful and wonderful thing. We thank you for this word again, Lord. We just pray, encourage us and strengthen us as we go from here, Lord. Help these words not to just fall as we go throughout our week this week, but Lord, that we would be challenged throughout our week to live these things out, to put others first, to live the life you've called us to live. We thank you and we praise you for these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.